Hey guys, welcome to the E-commerce Paradise podcast. I have a buddy of mine on. Kevin is his name, and he's a e-commerce entrepreneur, just like I am. And I wanted to have him on there because I've been hanging out with him for the last couple of years, and we've helped each other to grow our e-commerce stores kind of in like a mastermind style. And he's done some amazing things with his store, and I wanted to kind of just chat entrepreneurship and get his best tips for e-commerce entrepreneurs doing high-ticket dropshipping. So welcome to the podcast, Kevin.
How's it going, man? Thanks for having me.
Cool. Thanks for being on. Yeah, so, you know, everybody kind of has to start somewhere with this whole thing. You know, my journey started around 2010. When did your entrepreneurship journey begin, and how did it begin?
Sometime in 2016, I had just gotten off class, and I was driving to work one day, and I heard the word dropshipping in a podcast. It was like a KCRW podcast talking about some guys that were doing dropshipping on Amazon. And it sounded interesting to me, so I just kind of Googled it, looked it up, and then I came into high-ticket dropshipping, came into to understand what that was, and it immediately sparked my interest, so I just kept looking into it more and more. Took a few courses, learned how to build websites and do AdWords and stuff, and I think within the first, after the day from hearing what dropshipping was in on the car ride to work, from launching my first store was only like a 6 month period. So I was like pretty aggressive from the beginning to get it started. And yeah, so that was I think early 2017 when that happened. So it's been a crazy year and a half.
That's a lot to have happen in a year and a half, man. That's wild. That's awesome. What attracted you to dropshipping as opposed to like some different online business model or any other business for that business? I mean, some people, they want to start like a cafe or a restaurant, or some people, like maybe they get into affiliate marketing. What was it about dropshipping specifically you liked so much?
Well, I've always kind of had the idea in my head that I wanted to start a business at some point and work for myself, have my own hours, have the freedom. But of course, when you're going to school, you're a student and you don't have that much money, there's a large barrier of entry to any, well, most traditional business models. So starting a restaurant or any other business model, I mean, not any other business model, but most, requires a lot of capital, which I didn't have. So when I heard about dropshipping, it immediately sparked my interest because there wasn't a lot of capital involved that's necessary to start a store. Like, I think I started my first one with under like $200 or something. So that was cool. That's what immediately sparked my interest. I thought I could just do this in my free time on the weekends, and I can just use my savings that I have, which wasn't much at the time, to get this thing started. So that's kind of what it was for me.
Cool, man. Yeah, it was a similar thing for me too. Working a full-time job, I realized I wanted to do something like a side hustle. And so I got it going, very low cost to start up, and using like some sort of a e-commerce store platform like Shopify. At the time, I don't think Shopify existed, or if it did, I didn't know about it yet. So I used a thing called eCreator, but similar thing. It had the website builder for you, and you put the products up, and it drives Google shopping ads. And yeah, I was able to get some sales pretty quickly. So it's kind of cool how like low the startup cost is. And I think a lot of other people out there, you know, enjoy that. But it's a little bit different with like high ticket dropshipping as opposed to AliExpress dropshipping. You know, what, so you were drawn to like dropshipping, but how did you learn about like the online retail method as opposed to like importing from China or doing some kind of like, you know, AliExpress dropshipping from China, that kind of thing? Cause it's really popular these days. Or did you even not even hear about that method at all?
Yeah, I didn't even really know about the importing from China method until maybe 6 months after I was kind of like in the whole high ticket thing. So that wasn't really anything that was able to distract me, because otherwise I may have gone for that method, that business model. But one of the cooler things about the high ticket model is that you want to basically, when you're comparing it to the AliExpress model, you just want to sell high ticket items, and you want to sell, you know, you don't have to sell as many of them to get the same result or the same like, you know, net margin as you would if you're doing the AliExpress model, because you're selling like $20 items. So that right there, like, attracted me over any model right off the bat. I like the fact that you don't have to like do an incredible amount of customer service, at least not at first. is really attractive to me. Just selling really expensive things. You have, like, when you first start, you have like one sale a week or like two a week. So you're not really dealing with that much customer service. And that's something that was definitely, that's something that attracted me from the beginning. So.
Nice. Yeah, so I've been doing a lot of coaching lately, and I get a lot of questions from people that are thinking about starting out. And one of the biggest concerns they have is, are they going to be able to afford these higher ticket products? You know, I guess a lot of people, they don't have good credit or something like that. Is that something you had to deal with at all? Or, you know, were you pretty well set with credit when you first got started, like had a good credit, had credit cards and stuff like that?
Are you referring to like when I make a sale and I put... But like the supplier's invoice on my credit card?
Yeah, exactly. Okay.
Yeah, I didn't have very good credit at first because I was like 23 or 24 when I first started. I'm trying to remember what I did. I didn't let that stop me, that's for sure. I think I just applied for a credit card and I told the credit card company that I made like way more money than I did. So I got a pretty high limit. I think I got like a $6,000 limit, which now that's not very high for me. That wouldn't work now for my business, but it worked then, and it was good enough to make that happen. And then there was a point where I was using like my debit card, my credit card, my other credit card to like put all the suppliers to pay for all the products, you know, as sales were coming in. Which is a mess when you want to do your taxes. So I don't recommend doing that. But I just did whatever I had to do, and I didn't like let that hold me back. That never held me back. So I don't know. But I do hear that question a lot now when I do coaching calls as well. So
yeah. The other big thing that people run into when they're first getting started is niche selection. You know, choosing the right product to sell, or maybe choosing like a bunch of products to sell. Without mentioning your exact niche, maybe you can give a little bit of tips as to like how you were able to find your niche and, you know, realize that it was a good one to go into and stuff like that. What kind of research did you do?
So like certain criteria that I look for when I'm picking a niche, definitely I like to have the average like products price to be, personally, I like it to be like $800 to like $1,500. A lot of people will go for like the $200 to $500 niches, which I don't really like. Whenever I get like a $200 sale, I'm like kind of disappointed. so I'm more of like a $1,000 to like $1,500 type of guy. But another criteria or like something to look for would be like hobby niches work pretty well. I have two of my stores are in a hobby niche, like a passionate niche, if you will. So people who are buying them for, you know, leisure. They want them. They're excited to buy them. It's not something that they have to buy. You know, it's not something that's like a business to business. The business to business niches are great too. I'm sure there's plenty of potential, but that's not something that I've done. And I know that the passion niches work great. Another thing I try to look for is if the customer can just go down to Walmart or Target and buy that product, right, you know, today, and they don't need to buy it online. That kind of scares me a little bit, because then they don't need to go online. I know a lot of people who do sell things that are sold at Target or Walmart, but that's just something that I personally try to stay away from.
Okay, cool. Yeah, lots of good tips there. Choose the right price point, you know, choose a product that can only be found online, choose the right market for that product and stuff like that. It's awesome, man. Yeah, so, you know, as long as, you know, what I usually tell people is like, hey, just choose a niche, because you need to like just get started somewhere and then kind of learn as you go. So how many stores have you done? I think you have a couple, right?
Yeah, three right now. I just launched my third, well, my last one. I launched that one on Friday. That's cool. So I have three now, and then I started one when I first started my journey, and that one didn't work, so I guess that's a total of four. So my first one failed, and then I have three now, so.
All right. Well, even though it failed, you probably learned some good lessons from that, right? And you were able to apply those lessons to your new stores?
Definitely. Yeah, so starting my second store after the first one that failed was a lot faster. I was able to get that one started a lot faster. I knew, like, applied a lot of the things that I had done wrong on the first one to the second one, and yeah, so
cool, man. Okay.
okay. So don't, if you guys fail the first time, don't worry about it.
Yeah, just keep pursuing the next one. I think I was funny. I was reading a little post on my Instagram feed about Elon Musk and how many businesses he's started. I think he's started more than 10 of them now. A bunch of which he's actually sold and doesn't, you know, run or anything like that anymore. And I just thought, man, like I could probably make a similar infographic with like 20 different websites I've started and closed down that technically are failures, but in reality, they're just lessons that I've learned on the way to making more profitable stores. So, you know, and it really only takes one store to have like, you know, a nice full-time income, even if you live in an expensive city or something like that. So with that said, you know, how did you finally figure out how to get your stores profitable and what kind of, you know, methods did you go through to make that happen?
Something I did differently the second, third, and fourth time that I did, you know, from the first time was just having a really good understanding of AdWords. That was what kind of killed me the first time I failed. I didn't really understand AdWords very well at all. So I was spending a lot of money on getting traffic that wasn't converting. And so that's kind of what did it for me. I was running a lot of search text ads right off the gate, and I was bidding on generic search terms, which can be good, but I don't really like that. Like, I don't really like getting generic search terms. I think branded ones work the best, but of course it depends on your niche. So I just spent a lot of time learning how to use AdWords. I paid for coaching, you know, got help from people, asked a lot of questions, did my own research, took courses, et cetera. And then so with that knowledge, going to the second store, I was able to, you know, turn a profit, because AdWords is always going to be your biggest expense. And, well, it is for me at least. So something you definitely need to learn.
Yeah. I think we, you know, depending on the month or whatever, we'll spend, you know, $2,000 to $3,000 in AdWords to make, you know, somewhere between 30,000 to 60,000 revenue or more. So it's definitely your biggest expense, but it's also your revenue generator. So, it's worth learning good. And I think you said you had taken a course on AdWords directly from Google, right? You got certified on it. I think you had mentioned that.
Yeah, I got certified. That was a while ago. Yeah, so to get certified, you sign up for, I forget the name of it. It's like Google something. I can't really remember now, but you take a course and you answer like 100 question exam, basically. I felt like I was back in college. But yeah, it was pretty informative. It's not going to make the biggest difference. I would probably focus more on like getting coaching, like one-on-one. Because it's more like targeted, like to what you're doing. So getting certified will help, but I think getting coaching or taking a good course on AdWords would probably be the best bet, or that at least for me it was.
Cool. Yeah. And I just wanted to shout out to the people listening to this podcast right now that I broke down an entire, I call it the priority funnel method. I just came up with a name for it. It's great. But yeah, other people call it the upside down funnel system. And it's this funnel system in shopping ads where it works really cool, where you have three campaigns and you structure them with priorities so that certain keywords mix through them and you bid higher on the keywords that are more closer to the actual products so that you get customers a lot better. So I broke down that whole system and it's all in the masterclass. So if you guys are interested in taking a course that breaks everything down, go check out the E-commerce Paradise Masterclass. It's for high ticket dropshipping specifically. So it's all about that business model. So let's move on to the next thing, Kevin. It's really cool. You have these profitable stores now. It seems like you're doing like really good. I'm excited to hear about your next store and the success you have there. What's kind of like a day in the life of your life now, as opposed to it was, you know, back in college and stuff like that?
So nowadays it's Monday through Friday. I work 9 to 5. It's kind of funny that once you get your freedom, you pick your own hours, but I actually decide to work 9 to 5 every day, Monday through Friday. So I just wake up, I try to wake up at like 8 or 9, get to work, just hang out in my room, try to put in 8 hours as best I can. Hang out with my dog. He just sits next to me all day and bugs me. If I have some errands to do or like I feel tired that day, then I'll just get off a little early, go skating, take the dog to the dog park, hang out with friends. You know, it's kind of whatever I feel like. I try to be disciplined and put in the work, but sometimes you just want to hang out. So weekends, all right.
What kind of things do you do on the weekends? Do you, you know, you said you go skateboarding, you go hiking, things like that, or?
Yeah, weekends, go skating with friends, go out, you know, to the bar or whatever, go camping. Been doing a lot of camping lately. It's summer right now. Have a few trips coming up. I went to Spain a few months ago, went to Cancun a few months ago, going to Mexico on Friday, a few days from now. So have a lot of trips that I've been doing and that I have coming up. So those are the types of things I like to do on the weekends and go camping.
Yeah, there's something that's different about like the work from home lifestyle. You know, whether you're a digital nomad type, you like to hop around coffee shops, or you like to work from home, it doesn't really matter. You still get to control your own hours, like take breaks whenever you want to, eat whatever you want, whenever you want, spend 2 hours on lunch if you want, maybe spend a half an hour on lunch if you really want to crush some workout. Right. You know, get off work at 3 o'clock and go skate. You know, come back, work later in the evening. You just do whatever you want. It's cool, man. Like,
yeah.
Ever since I started this lifestyle, I'm loving it too. It's super chill. And I think, you know, like you were saying, part of it is just being disciplined and diligent. Like, you know, you just want to make the most of the time that you're working at. You know, like in my opinion, it's not about like how much you work. It's about how much work you get done in, you know, a short period of time, so that you can, you know, go out there and see some amazing results. And by the way, I kind of wanted to ask you really quick, you know, what are some of the results you're getting from your store, like sales wise these days? How are your stores doing?
Sure. My main store, it's seasonal. So it's kind of hard to like give you like an average number, but I'd say on average, it does like 70 to 80,000 in sales. During the busy months, I think we've seen the highest number beyond 100,000. I think my best month was 110,000 in sales, and that's just from one store. so that was great. But on average, I'd say it's about 60 to 80. I guess I'd have to look and see the data, but yeah, it's the slow season right now, and we're still doing like 50 to 60. So it's not bad, definitely not bad at all. And that's about like a 7 to 10% net margin, so you know it's not bad.
Yeah, I think that's pretty average when it comes to like hobby, passion, niche kind of stuff, right? Like a little bit lower profit margin.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's pretty average for most
niches, probably. Yeah, even. But yeah, because you're gonna deal with shipping, you're gonna deal with like some costs here or there.
Yeah, and I'm pretty aggressive on
like AdWords and stuff.
Yeah, I think last month I spent like $4,000 in ads and like
have three. Yeah, that can cut into your profit margins a bit. Doing a lot of ads
right now, so that's, you know, a little bit expensive too. So
yeah,
I mean, you know, it is what it is. Just trying to get it scaled up as fast as I can, so I'm willing to put the money back and see the results quicker.
Heck yeah, dude. Well, that's awesome, man. So great to hear you're doing good. And thank you so much for providing the listeners and the audience with the tips you have to offer. I mean, a lot of people out there, you know, they're starting their high-ticket dropshipping careers. And, you know, hearing from somebody like you who's been successful after a year or so is just really, really inspiring. So thanks so much for being on the podcast, Kevin. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Cool, guys. All right. Talk next time. Yeah.